Oh, okay, sorry. It almost feels like we're praying quite a lot tonight, but I think prayer is quite an important thing. So let us just close our eyes again and just pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this great privilege that we have as believers in your name to gather here tonight. May each one of us here tonight be blessed and touched by your Holy Spirit, so that we can go out in the world and face it in the knowledge that you are with us every step of the way. Grace and peace to all of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of the God and the Father, to whom do be glory forever and ever. Amen. The passage I would like to share with you tonight has a very special place in my heart for several reasons. I think the biggest reason is when I was 9 years old, my grandparents gave me my first Bible. And my grandparents were like my parents to me at that point in time, because my mom had just gone divorced and I was growing up with them. And my grandmother didn't write the old traditional passage in the front of the Bible. She wrote this specific passage and has always stayed near and dear to my heart. And the second reason really is, as you all know, I'm from South Africa. but I'm very privileged, and the place where I grew up is called Pietermaritzburg. And it allowed me to be at two of my favorite places in the world within an hour and a half's drive. To the east was the beautiful KwaZulu-Natal south coast, the nice Indian Ocean, warm water. Even during the winter temperatures, it's 20 degrees, the water. So, you know, an hour and a half and you're there. And then to the west was the place where I felt most at peace and probably the closest to God. And this was the Drakensberg Mountains. Now, just to give you an idea of the size of the Drakensberg Mountains, at its tallest, it stands at 3,482 meters. For the non-metrical people in here, that's 11,400 feet above sea level. It's slightly more than Skaff Pike, I guess, than in the UK, which only stands at 978 meters above sea level, or 3,200 feet. And like I said, in these mountains, it's the place where I felt the closest to God. Just experiencing the sheer beauty of it. And what we used to do at school, we used to go on 5-day hikes in the Drakensberg. So you've got your whole life on your backpack, hiking through the mountains, pitching your tent at the end of a long day's hike, and sleeping in the mountains under the beautiful stars where no man has touched it before. But for some bizarre reason, our teacher always used to arrange these holidays, hiking trails, when it was in the middle of the winter, the June holiday, school holidays. So high up in the mountains, it gets really cold. The coldest we once experienced was minus 15 degrees. So sleeping bag in a small tent, loads of stories that have saved my life previously, but that's enough about that, and my youth. So the passage that I would like to share with you, if you haven't already guessed it, any guesses? It's Psalm 121. So if we can, if anybody's got Bibles, if we could open our Bibles to Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, me, you, will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over you. Your coming days, sorry, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So, like I said, that's one of my favorite verses for those simple reasons. But what did the psalmist really want to say to us in these verses? Is it God is our helper? Or is it, it's like a childlike prayer that we all sometimes just need to be a child. with the belief and the hope that God will protect us. And then also sort of the reassurance that the protection is always. But what can we learn if we read these passages or this passage? Well, it starts with a question. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? So, is this a question? What is this question being asked? Is it maybe based on the old Greek mythology, where people used to believe that the gods lived in the mountains on Mount Olympus, and they looked up to them for guidance? Or is it a case of we as humans, sometimes in a moment of despair, just throw our heads back with a big sigh? Or is it maybe the case where Israel first experienced or encountered God, where God actually came down to earth to be with his people? And if we read Exodus 19, verse 16 to 19, it says this. If I can find it. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Yes. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in a fire. The smoke bellowed up from it like a smoking furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sounds of trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Now, I always find that one of the great things in the Bible is, you know, when you ask a question, you don't necessarily have to go very far to find the answer to it. So we've just heard in verse 1, where will my help come from? But in the very next verse, we are given the answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, personally, I've never been to heaven, so I can't really judge the state of heaven or how magnificent it is. But I have been on earth, and I have seen the magnificent and magicalness of earth, and just seeing what the Creator can create. Like I said, being in the mountains, absolute quietness, spending time with God. But it's something to remember that it's not just anybody we are receiving help from. This is the person that created all these things. So it's not just a random, non-powerful person, but it's a God who's created creation. But the best part about this knowledge is that God doesn't just help us, but he also protects us, which it tells us in the next verses. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel, you, me, will never sleep nor slumber. It's amazing that specific, never slip nor slumber. It reminds me of one of my favorite sermons. If you ever get the chance, do listen to it. It's from Jonathan Edwards. It's Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it's basically utilized this verse of Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. In due time, their foot will slip. But like I said, if you have time, Google it, have a listen to it. It's a real life changer in that sense. But back to Psalm 121. We are given assurance that God will not let our foot slip. And believe me, that was quite an assurance when you're hiking in the Drakensberg, when you've got a sheer cliff on the one side and a sheer valley on the other side, in the knowledge that if your foot slipped here, it would be a long way you were rolling down the mountain and possibly not making it to the end again. So the God who serves us watches over us. What an amazing statement that is. As a father, I know how difficult this can sometimes be. I'll never, you know, on a Sunday afternoon, the belly's full, sat on the sofa, kids playing quite quietly in the lounge, and the eyes just get heavier. It's like just a few winks, few winks. Before you know it, you're off at a nice snooze. Waking up in a bit of a panic. It's like, have the kids broken the house down? That's all right. They've not done it. And then yet you find yourself doing exactly the same thing a few minutes later again. But we serve a God that doesn't do that. A God that always watches over us. His eyes are always open, looking out for us. But God does not just look over. God does not just look over us. He also protects us. The Lord watches over you. He is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, the sun isn't always something we experience in the UK, warm weather conditions, but put yourselves in the shoes of the people where this was written, modern day Palestine. It gets quite hot there. And believe me, there's nothing worse than getting sunstroke. Yet we have a God that provides us with shade, keeps us away from the sun and the harm that it can cause. But the statement about the moon, isn't that a bit strange in today's modern times? But yet, in the olden times, people believed strange things. People believed that illnesses were associated with the phases of the moon. And people even sometimes believed that the devil was within the moon. We as believers in God do not have to worry about these things in the knowledge that God is with us every step of the way, looking over us. It is confirmed within the very next verse of the Bible, and that's what makes the Bible so amazing. Like I said earlier, we don't have to wait for the next answer, the next statement. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. What amazing a thought. But the Lord will not just do it for now. He will do it forever. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So what can we as Christians take away from this passage? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. It helps us believe that in a world that's starting to turn its back on God, a world where everything is for the here and now, where everything or nothing seems to be long term, and a world that is content on destroying itself, or as a gangster would say, we've got a God that's got our back. Yes, it might be considered naive or childlike, but is that not what we are needed? To be like children again, but just believing. Believing that God is for us. God will protect us wherever we go, and He will guard us and help us. And not get distracted by everything out there in the world. For as Jesus Himself said, and it's probably not really related to us, but Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And maybe that's what we all need, just to be children of God. So, is it just, like I said, as simple as being a child of God and confessing with the psalmist, my help comes from the Lord?
Yes.
Yeah. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you as believers, safe in the knowledge that you are the provider of help and my protector. Thank you that I can have the insurance that this is not just for now, but for the length of days. And help us go out into the world, being children of you, letting us our light shines. And as we sung tonight, we sing for the glory of your presence and your creation. Amen. Sorry, it's very short. I do realize that.